Good afternoon. It's 19 minutes after 5 o'clock. You're listening to All Things Considered over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 56 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Today's Tuesday, September 24th, 2013. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. The Sitka Assembly could give final approval to an electric rate increase during tonight's regular meeting. If approved, all customers would see rates go up 10% beginning July 1st. The move is designed to help pay for the Blue Lake Dam expansion. The city is borrowing millions from the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank to pay for the largest public works project in city history. Also on tonight's agenda, the Assembly is expected to approve a contract for its new municipal administrator. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more on that.
October 21st, that's the date Sitka's new municipal administrator will report to work. If the Assembly approves the three-year deal, the city will pay Mark Gorman an annual salary of $125,000, plus up to $15,000 in moving expenses. He'll have 2 weeks vacation in the bank to start as well. Here are some other terms of the deal. If Gorman quits, he has to give 2 months' notice. And if he's fired for anything other than committing a crime or gross misconduct, he gets 90 days of severance pay. That's less than his predecessor, Jim Dinley, who had a contract allowing for 120 days of severance. Dinley resigned in April after the Assembly gave him an unsatisfactory performance review. That review followed a 2-week suspension, which was related to a complaint from a city employee, although the Assembly maintained that the two events were just coincidentally timed. City Finance Director Jay Sweeney has served as interim administrator since then, and the Assembly hired Gorman in late August after a search that included 53 initial applicants, 10 semifinalists, and 4 finalists. When Mark Gorman takes the corner office next month, he will supervise a staff of more than 150 people and be responsible for the day-to-day operation of city government. Gorman was previously an executive at the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium and most recently worked as country director in Laos for the organization World Education. His projects included working to prevent injury and death from unexploded ordnance left behind by wars in Southeast Asia. Mark Gorman first moved to Sitka in 1978. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
Live on-air coverage of the Assembly meeting begins tonight at 6 p.m. from Harrigan Centennial Hall. The Assembly also has a 5 p.m. work session on selling municipal land to people who want to live off the grid. That work session currently in progress at Harrigan Centennial Hall. Many hospital facilities throughout Southeast Alaska are getting old, with some rapidly closing in on 50 years since they were built. Healthcare has changed quite a bit in the past half century, and communities are facing expensive upgrades to keep up with those changes into the future. In part two of Coast Alaska's series on healthcare in Southeast, KRBD's Layla Carey took a closer look at Ketchikan's Medical Center.
If you appreciate 1960s interior design elements, Ketchikan Medical Center's surgery rooms are for you. The cramped spaces are tiled in vintage green, and while there have been some upgrades in the past half century, it still looks like the set for a movie based in a bygone era.
So, I just want to give you an idea of 1963.
Kim Schwartz is the surgical services manager, and she's showing a small group of visitors a vintage item left over from the original construction. She opens up a little door in the wall and says,
"Does anybody know what that is?"
No.
What it is suction. And what you would do is you turn on water. Water would go down through here. You'd have a hose on here, and that creates a vacuum.
So, but you don't use that.
No,
we don't use
no.
this anymore. But this is the kind of technology that there was in 1963 so that you could have suction.
That's Penny Peterson. She heads up the Ketchikan Medical Center Foundation, which is leading the effort to upgrade the community's primary health care facility. Peterson led a tour of the hospital to show its structural limitations, particularly in the surgery area, but she and Schwartz are quick to point out that it provides quality care despite those shortcomings.
The average infection rate across the nation is
about 3%.
3%.
In the operating room.
The operating room areas. And we were at
zero.
While that is impressive, the facility needs are notable, and Ketchikan isn't alone. Karen Perdue is CEO of the Alaska State Hospital and Nursing Home Association.
As I travel around the state and look at hospitals in Alaska, I would say that the lower southeast is an area where the three hospitals that I can think of, Ketchikan, Wrangell, and Petersburg, are among the most aging of facilities that we see in the state.
Ketchikan's hospital is owned by the city and operated by Peace Health, a Catholic nonprofit medical provider that also manages facilities in Oregon and Washington. Southeast Alaska has a long history of communities working in partnership with nonprofit healthcare groups. Purdue says those communities have been careful about keeping up with routine maintenance. However,
at some point you just can't remodel enough to keep up with what the patients need. So that's what we're seeing in Southeast Alaska.
The city of Ketchikan already has about $15 million from the state for its project, and voters will decide in October whether to take on $43 million in bonds, the amount still needed for the renovation's first phase. That's the largest, most expensive phase and would add about 72,000 square feet to the hospital and the Peace Health-run clinics. There have been some minor renovations since the mid-60s, including badly needed electric upgrades so fuses don't blow during surgeries, but the basic structure has remained the same. That's not the case a little farther north. Juneau's Bartlett Regional Hospital was rebuilt in the 1960s and expanded in the 1980s.
The hospital is extremely well-equipped.
Jim Strader is Bartlett's Director of Community Relations and Marketing.
We have a state-of-the-art, brand-new critical care unit, which is not only state-of-the-art itself, but also connected. And we have telemedicine capabilities for additional specialists, consultation, that sort of thing. The building is fairly new. It's modern. It's very well equipped.
Strader says any limitations at Bartlett are related more to services that lack sufficient demand, such as cardiology, rather than facilities that need upgrades. In Wrangell, though, it's a different story. Officials there want a whole new facility. Wrangell's hospital was built in 1968, and while there have been additions since then, an engineer determined that remodeling and expanding it would cost more than just building a new one. Purdue says upgraded facilities are important not just for patient care, but also for attracting and maintaining quality staff.
As our healthcare facilities age, providers, especially surgeons and people who are doing work in hospitals, are looking at that to say whether or not that's a place they want to invest in their intellectual capital in those communities.
So this room, this is when we're going to do, say, a lap Coley in a room.
Back in Ketchikan's surgery suite, Schwartz has set up a room for a mock operation to demonstrate how little space there is. She explains that to maintain a sterile field, anyone moving around the patient has to stay a minimum distance and not touch anything draped in blue. And pretty much everything is draped in blue. She challenges Bette Jakubik, one of the tour participants, to go get an item from the other side of the room.
You have to be a specimen with arms up.
How it works.
Jakubik weaves around equipment, knocks something over, and ducks under several cords. They like to call it surgical yoga.
And then you have to, like, scoot underneath here?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Crazy.
So you're trying to get there kind of fast, because you need it now.
Got it.
Good job. Now you got to come back again without touching any of the blue drapes, and you got to give it to your person that's scrubbing.
There were three on the tour that day, making five in the room. Schwartz says there usually are six, plus the patient and perhaps a family member. Peterson tells the story of an eager dad who used the back door rather than wade through all the stuff.
The father wanted to see his newborn baby, but he couldn't get past everything, so he had to go through that door into the other operating room and come around in this door so he could see this.
Floor space isn't the only problem. The redesign also calls for higher ceilings, which means the equipment will be mounted on a hanging spider-like contraption. All of the renovation plans are geared toward improved care, a better experience for patients, and the ability to keep up with rapidly changing technology. The direct effect on the public, they say, will be that more patients will receive treatment close to home. In Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
Coast Alaska's series on healthcare continues during our newscast tomorrow, when reporter Sean Carlson examines some of the challenges of childbirth in rural Southeast. That's going to do it for news for this evening. Coming up next at 5:30, we'll have Alaska News Nightly. Then at 6 o'clock, top of the hour, we'll go to live coverage of the city and borough Assembly meeting. Quick look at zone weather, though, before we do. Tonight, mostly clear in Sitka and PA, lows around 45. East winds 5 miles per hour. Early in the evening, becoming light and variable. Tomorrow, increasing clouds, highs around 58. Southeast winds to 10 miles per hour. And Thursday, rain, highs around 56. South winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. And the marine forecast for Southeast Alaska outside waters, there are some advisories to be advised of. Cape Decision to Cape Edgecombe, there's a small craft advisory due to seas through Wednesday tonight. East winds 10 knots, seas 11 feet, subsiding to 9 feet late. West swell tomorrow, southeast winds increasing to 15 knots in the afternoon, seas 8 feet, subsiding to 6 feet in the afternoon. Cape Edgecombe to Cape Fairweather, small craft advisory through Wednesday. Wednesday, south winds 20 knots, increasing to 30 knots in the afternoon, seas 7 feet, west swell in the morning. And Cape Fairweather to Icy Cape, gale warning on Wednesday, southeast winds 25 knots, increasing to 35 knots in the afternoon, seas 6 feet, building to 9 feet in the afternoon, with rain in the afternoon. Raven News will hold live forums with the municipal election candidates. School board candidates will take your questions beginning at 6:35 p.m. tomorrow. Assembly candidates will answer your questions Thursday at 6:35 p.m. You can learn more or leave a question in advance on our website, kcaw.org. Election Day is right around the corner on Tuesday, October 1st. As I said, coming up next, Alaska News Nightly from the Alaska Public Radio Network, followed by live coverage of the City and Borough Assembly with KCAW reporter Ed Ronco. Stay tuned.